The sacking that shook the football world in 1965 and cast the curse of Norm Smith. So more from the Tony Charlton Football Show, where Ron Barassi, who had moved to Carlton, came into the studio, and Hassam Mann, who was the Demons captain.
I would say one thing. Everyone knows it's a tragedy what has happened. But the thing that I feel is grossly unjust is the allegations that the club have made on Norm Smith's character, which I feel is wrong, and I can't understand any committee coming to this decision and allegation after knowing the man the way they have. He's been at Melbourne almost 30 years, and he's been straight and honest all those 30 years. And even if it were true, and it's not, of course, but even if it were, I mean, the fact that they didn't give him a chance or any way at all, it's beyond me, and it's a pity such a great club has seen fit to do such a thing.
Do you think the wound can be healed?
No.
It made for fiery Sunday lunchtime TV. The previous day, Melbourne had lost to North Melbourne at the Coburg Ground, the Demons under the ageing Checker Hughes. That night, the team had visited Smith's home. Later, they would attend a dance at the club. The position of the players was never in doubt. On the Sunday morning, skipper Hassam Mann, vice-captain Brian Keneally and rover Johnny Townsend were in the studios.
I rang all players yesterday morning and I was in touch with all players before 9.30 yesterday morning, and not one player mentioned to me that they would not play on Saturday afternoon.
The voice of Hassam Mann then, and Mike Hasser is with us now. Hassam Mann, great to have you back on SEN.
Good morning, Gerald.
How vividly do you recall that Sunday and that Tony Charlton football show, given the events that had transpired?
Recall it quite vividly, Gerard, because it was an issue that I think rocked the football world and certainly rocked us as players, because, as you were aware, I was actually talking to Norm on the Friday night when the messenger arrived, a telegram arrived, and it was, we were talking about the game the following day, and then I heard the doorbell ring, and we finished the conversation. Norm came back a couple of minutes later and told us that he'd been sacked, and it was just unbelievable. Just unbelievable.
Hasser, good morning to you. What do you think precipitated the Melbourne Cricket Club decision to dismiss the coach who'd won 6 premierships in 10 years? Norm believes it was the lack of support over the Don Blue defamation case, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think, Mike, there was obviously a build-up of tensions since the incident with Don Blue. And I also think it was a case that Norm had been, I think, thumping the table with the committee for some time. Norm was concerned about, I guess, we were coming to the end of an era in terms of, you know, the Barassi, the Dixons, all those that played with Melbourne and started with Melbourne back in the 1952-53. And Norm could see that Melbourne Football Club had to change its attitude with regards to recruiting players. Other clubs had started to buy in players from interstate, and Melbourne Football Club at that stage were not into contracts and didn't believe in contracts, and Norm could see that they had to change, and this tension was building up. Norm was thumping the table. The committee was sort of refusing to listen. I think a number of committee people felt that Norm had a bit of a big head, that he was sort of the coach, a successful coach, and I think there was just a build-up of all of those things that caused this tension. I don't know. I tried to find out through Ian Ridley. The only person who knew the real reasons for the sackings was Ian Ridley, who was secretary to the committee when the decision was made. And for credit for Ian, Ian never, ever released what the main reasons were.
Hassa, there's a school of thought that the committee was angry with Norm because Norm didn't try to convince Ron to stay at Melbourne rather than go to Carlton and take the coaching job.
as far as I'm concerned, that was incorrect because I believe Norm offered to stand aside for a run.
You can't do much more than that, can you?
No. It was my firm understanding that Norm offered to do that. But Ron, of course, being strong-headed Ron, realised, and probably correctly so, that if he was going to pursue a coaching career, he should at least start doing it away from the club that he'd played for.
Hassel, I want to ask you about what a terrible waste of talent that we experienced when Norm died at the age of 57. Now, 57 today is barely middle-aged, and he was dead at 57. A huge loss to football, wasn't it?
It certainly was, and I guess we'll never know, Mike, but the tension of that period, the sacking and so forth, you know, undoubtedly had some bearing on, you know, Norm's health. And, you know, he suffered a couple of heart attacks. And when it eventually happened, it was a great shock to the football community.
The industry says that Len Smith was the master tactician. That's Norm's brother, Len. And that Norm was sort of more of a rabble-rouser. Is that fair to Norm? I read the Red Fox, and I thought Norm's handle on strategy was brilliant.
Yeah, I couldn't argue with that, Mike. Well, you know my feeling towards Norm Smith. I think whatever I achieved in football, I owe directly to Norm Smith. And saying that, I think that most of the players who played under Norm would have vouched for that also. Norm was probably before his time. I mean, he tried things. He was a very demanding coach, as you know. But players would run through brick walls for Norm Smith, and that's why, you know, he was the success behind the success for Melbourne.
Hassa, it's great to talk to you. How will you take Saturday in?
Probably nervously.
Yes.
Undoubtedly, it was interesting last Friday night when they played their last game. I was pretty okay until about 6:30, and then I, you know, was thinking about the young players and what was in front of them, and well, even now, so, you know, many of them, all of them except one, are playing in the final series, probably for the first time, particularly in the grand final. And my only concern, really, at this point in time, is that having lived in a hub for so long, having eat, sleep and talk football for the last fortnight or 3 weeks, is a drain, or can be a drain, and I only hope that the players don't play their game before they hit the ground on Saturday.
Can you confirm one thing? Sorry, Hassa, you go.
I was just saying that their form, if they can reproduce what they did against Geelong, then they're going to be very, very hard to beat.
Are you prepared to share my view that this is the most accomplished Melbourne team in the past 50 years?
Oh, undoubtedly, Mike. I think their performance against Geelong was perhaps the best Melbourne performance that I'd seen. Wow. Undoubtedly, we would have played some pretty good football, I guess, in the in that golden era. But the way in which they played the whole game against Geelong was first class. And as I say, I think it's the best Melbourne performance that I've ever seen.
Hassa, it's great to have your time this morning. Thanks a lot for taking our call.
Okay, Jared, no problems.
Thanks, Hassa.
Go D's.
Yes, indeed, go D's. So Hassa was the captain.